Thank you. The Bible tells us that for everything, there is a season. Everything has its purpose and its reason for being, and each has its time of expression. Now, we all know about seasons. We call them fall, winter, spring, and summer. And each has its own glory, its own flavor, essence, and identity. We assign these seasons to particular times of the year. And then we associate certain events with those times. Now, sometimes we even have seasons within seasons. For instance, within that time of the winter season, we also have what we refer to as the holiday season, consisting of Christmas and New Year celebrations. Within the fall season, we also have the season of Thanksgiving, that time when we pause and thank God for what we have received. Today's lesson is all about Thanksgiving. Now, this time to celebrate the giving of thanks was assigned to the fall season, following the reaping and the storing of the crops. The harvest was safely put away in the barns and the silos, indicating an end to the planting season. And it was at this time that the people gathered together to thank God for the abundance of the harvest. For many individuals, especially the farmers, this display represented their livelihood, their cash crop, which is the way that they made their living. Now, some years, the harvest, it was not all that plentiful, not enough rain, or maybe there was too much rain. Perhaps it was too hot or too cold, but still, those farmers gathered together in praise and thanksgiving. The purpose was to show gratitude, and they began right where they were, praising what was at hand. Now, I dare say that few of us are farmers. Some of us may be gardeners, but not so many farmers. The dictionary tells us that a harvest is a product of reward or effort. Now, when we think about the farmer, we could consider what is stored in the barns and in the silos. And yes, we could agree that this may be true for the crops. The produce could be counted as a reward or compensation for work and labor. After all, it was the result of the effort of the farmer in his time of planting and sowing. Now, while this seems obvious when we think about it, we begin to wonder about the effort of the farmer. I mean, exactly what did he do? What role did he play in producing the crop? When the farmer does the sowing, he's simply planting the seed in the ground. It's not within his power to make things grow. And he cannot give life to the potatoes, the carrots, and the corn. When he does his sowing, he's simply cooperating with the principle that governs the life of the seed, the shape, and the essence of the harvest. It is God's creative activity that produces the crop. The farmer's effort is not one of personal strength and power. No, his act is to surrender to the life in the seed, allowing the movement of that invisible activity to do the work. And then he sits back and he observes as that process takes place. He watches his crop unfold to its full potential, all according to some plan already established and put in place. And when that harvest has been put away, it is to this invisible activity that the farmer gives thanks. He understands that his role is simply to be the one who plants the seed in the ground, serving as its instrument, nothing more and nothing less. Now, the Bible is quite clear about this business of giving thanks. Give thanks unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be grateful and sing his praises. Now, this instruction is given to all of us, and we should consider it above all else. But exactly where do we begin? Intuitively, we feel a sense of gratitude. Because you see, gratitude is not a product of the head, but it is a sentiment of the heart. Exactly what may we praise and be grateful for? If we are to thank God for what we have received, we then have to determine what makes up our bounty. Exactly what is our harvest? We are not farmers storing things in barns and silos. So what exactly are we looking at? Well, our normal response is to begin by counting what it is we call our assets, considering that to be our harvest. We personalize our gratitude in this way. Oh, thank you, God, for being so good to me, for putting food on my table, clothes in my closet, and that car in my garage. Thank you for my job, my wonderful family, and that roof over my head. And we go on and on, praising God for what we consider our hearts. But what happens when our assets are not quite as bountiful as we had hoped they would be? Do we ever hear someone praise and thank God because they lost their job, their marriage fell apart, or they broke their leg? Of course not. These things are not worthy of praise. What is worthy of praise is that regardless of the appearance, regardless of what it is that we are going through at the moment, regardless of all those curves that life throws us, regardless of these things, God is here. God did not go anywhere, and we are thankful that this is so. Again, we look at that farmer. Now, the farmer does not consider his crop as his personal asset or demonstration. Remember, his only investment is to plant that seed in the ground. So his praise and glory are given to the invisible process that brings it to its full potential. Now, I've already pointed out that in some years, the barns and the silos are not quite as full as he had hoped, because the harvest is simply not quite as plentiful in times past. But the farmer does not fixate over this particular display or turn of events. He carries God in the sentiment of his heart, and it is in this place that he seeks his fulfillment. And this is the key to the activity of giving thanks. It is the harvest of inner being that we really seek. Inner satisfactions and contentment are the true desires of the heart. The invisible harvest is the spiritual fruit. When we praise and adore life itself, we are not concerned with the form that it takes, nor are we anxious about its size, its essence, or even what it is that we call it. When we take our praise and devotion to the quiet place of inner being, we commune with the giver of all life. We are told that God is the giver of every good gift. Jesus told us that God alone is good. Jesus told us that God is spirit. And when we ponder this, we conclude that the only good gift is the spiritual one. God gives his gifts freely, and he does not attach strings to them, nor does he give us detailed instructions as what we should do with them. The message is, all that I have is thine. Take it. I willingly give you my kingdom. Accept it. We read of gifts and talents, and yes, we learn of that infinite storehouse, the one that awaits our recognition so that it may pour out its blessings. Many divine scientists, the early ones especially, wrote of their discoveries concerning the activity of giving thanks. Dr. Irvin Gregg, a minister in Denver, tells us that praise and gratitude are the divine scientist's way of saying yes to life. With thankful hearts, we pray. Praise be to God for his wonderful gifts. Well, I agree with Dr. Gregg. It doesn't really matter if we refer to our good as our harvest, our blessings, or our gifts. They are of God, and it does not matter what we call them. And also let us remember that God does not place restrictions or limitations. There are, however, some things that we must do. I believe that when we accept the gifts, that we must place some restrictions and limitations on us. Yes, on us. On that personal self, the ego, the one that willingly takes its gifts and runs with them. When we devote time and attention to that quiet time, we stay true to our practice of meditation, and then we discover a deeper appreciation for life, and we find us in a different state of consciousness. And before long, we notice a change in and around us. And in a little while, we find us in a new place of comfort. Feeling a bit confident, we may become complacent, satisfied with ourselves. And then ego comes knocking, telling us how wonderful we are, and also how well we are doing, hinting that we have somehow arrived at this new state of contentment by our own efforts. And we act on that, assured of our superior ability, we then try to work on our own, certain that all by ourselves, we can bring peace to that workplace and also to the world. We can bring harmony to the marriage, joy to those dark places of daily living. And of course, this is all done according to our personal specification, according to what we think is best. But working in this way leaves God out of the picture, and this will not turn out well at all. Because you see, we do not have the power and the wisdom to work in this way. And we cannot use spiritual gifts for personal advantage. It doesn't work that way. What we receive in our time of meditation, it's meant to inform and instruct, to guide and direct. The revelation of inner being is that it does the work. And when that ego steps aside, we have the realization, the harvest of the invisible activity that goes before us, fulfilling itself as every good gift that comes down from heaven. The message of this new consciousness is a song of praise and rejoicing. It is one of gratitude. Because you see, what wells up in us, it cannot be contained. We cannot hide it. It is meant to express, fulfill, and satisfy. And it is meant for all people. It goes before us, pouring itself out to all those who are willing and able to receive it. So now we know. Our thanksgiving is not for anything that we think we have done or brought about on our own. All of this praising, singing, and adoration are not for personal gain or glorification, thinking that we have somehow done marvelous things. Nor is it given to our display of material goods, assets, or personal possessions. When we allow the act of thanksgiving to be an activity of the heart and not of the head, it simply gives all glory to God. Now, the role of the humble, receptive individual is to be like that farmer, to plant the spiritual seeds, the ones that bear witness to the principle behind all of life. All planting, sowing, and reaping are done as an individual act of consciousness. Having completed our work, we may then rest. When the farmer completes his work, he ceases his labor. And in his time of rest, he looks out on his field, praising the invisible life of that seed as it does its work. And we should do the same. Let us remember that thanksgiving is really a form of prayer. And when we direct our prayers to God, we continue our contact with the source from which we receive our gifts, our talents, and our hearts. We must also remind ourselves to be careful of what we are doing. Let us be mindful where we direct our thanksgiving. For instance, following today's service, we will all go downstairs and enjoy our annual church potluck family dinner. Now, each of us has contributed to this event in some way. And before we begin to eat, we will pause and acknowledge the giver of every good gift. When we acknowledge the hands that prepared the food, we will also praise the activity that directed the hands that prepared it. Now, our words of thanks, they are not given because we personally have the wherewithal to prepare or to buy a dish to bring to the table. Our words of thanks are not directed at the mode of transportation that brought us to the service. Our words of thanks are not given to those stoves and the dishwashers in the kitchen. While we do appreciate these things, we know they are simply being provided for our use. Our praise is given to that beautiful, marvelous activity that put it all in place. It is to this activity that we give our trust and our conviction. This coming Thursday is the actual day that has been set aside for celebration. Now, some of us will find us dining with family and friends at a favorite restaurant or in someone's home. Others will volunteer at the soup kitchen or a homeless shelter. Some individuals will find themselves in the solitude of their own company. Now, it doesn't matter where we find us, because thanksgiving is not where we happen to find us. True thanksgiving takes place in the heart of man, in the solitude of our soul's awareness. Let us choose this day to lift our eyes on high and praise His holy name. This morning we have the opportunity to do so. Would you join me now in our closing meditation? In this time of thanksgiving, let us be mindful of the infinite source of being. We praise and we adore that which is within us. In gratitude, we call forth the divine presence that awaits our recognition. Spiritual integrity remembers from whence it came. The grateful heart knows and acclaims its own. There is planted in us a holy red seed. Let us nurture it and care for it so that it may come forth as our harvest, accomplishing what it was sent to do. The Bible speaks of that infinite storehouse and calls it the kingdom of heaven. Yes, the harvest is at hand. Thank you, Father, for the life that abounds. I am that life. Let us make a joyful noise unto the Lord and enter into his gates with thanksgiving. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Let us sing our praises unto the Lord, for this is our song of thanksgiving. Amen.
Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within, acknowledge him, so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.